Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I am weird,
dude. You are weird.
Mr. Dale Earnhardt Jr.
That family picnic sometimes gives you more than just a potato salad.
That's the voice of my co-host and one of my best friends in the whole wide world, Mike Davis.
We're screwed.
What does that mean?
No, we're not standing in that box together in our underwear. Are you kidding me, Mike?
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
Hey, everybody, it's Dale Jr., and we're back again for another episode of the Dale Jr. Download. It's Thursday, and this is the reaction show. Yesterday, we had Jamie McMurray on as our guest. We're going to get into that a little bit. But we are in the Bojangle studio, and I am here with my co-host, Mike Davis. And we are giving away free regular-sized dirty rice.
Yeah, or Bojangles is.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's through November 22nd. If you want some free dirty rice, the regular size kind, go to Bojangles.com and make your order, or you can use the app. And at participating stores, when you punch in the code DALE, D-A-L-E, there you go, free dirty rice. Who doesn't want free food?
I want free food.
Especially dirty rice.
I want dirty rice.
So we're very thankful for Bojangles and their support of our show, and we're hoping that you'll take advantage of this opportunity to enjoy some dirty rice. All right, we are coming off of the interview with Jamie McMurray yesterday. Mike, your first thoughts about the interview?
It was enjoyable. It really was, just kind of like, he's an old friend. We've talked about that. But the fact is just kind of hearing where he is at life. I enjoyed it from start to finish, to be honest with you. Even just hearing what his thoughts are on Martinsville from this past week. It was
all
pretty
right,
good.
All right. You really had fun.
You asked the question, I thought I'd answer.
All right. Start to finish.
Yeah.
Not one part.
Wow, was there a part that you didn't particularly enjoy?
No.
Okay, so then start to finish, you enjoyed it.
Okay.
Good for you. Are you still thinking about dirty rice?
Just what are you thinking about? So thick.
I'm just being honest.
Okay.
What's wrong with you?
I want you to be honest. What? I don't want to stifle your honesty.
Well, you're making me think about it.
Okay. I just wanted to allow you the option to correct.
What was your favorite part with McMurray?
I really like talking to him. Dude's a good dude. We had some good racing together, and we were friends. You know, we get out on the lake together and hang out. He was one of the, you know, very few drivers that I would do anything with outside of the racetrack. Our lives have both changed a lot. We both are now married with kids, but he retired a bit early. He told us that wasn't his choice. I'm so thankful that he was honest. Right, about certain things like that.
Yeah.
And, talking to him about how he's dealing with not driving and does he miss it and does it, you know, concern him or what would he do with given the opportunity, you know, if somebody walked in the door and said, top five Xfinity car, go any track you want, right? What would you do? I'm always kind of, as you are, fascinated by watching their gears turn when you try to toss that in their direction, right? And having kind of gone through the last several years, I just find it crazy when they say, no, I don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
One individual specifically, Mark Martin, that we have not had on the show, will tell everybody and anybody that asks about him racing. He's like, I am done. Like, I am never going to be behind the wheel of a race car again. He's adamant. It's interesting for me to, like, I bug Dale Jarrett and I bug Jeff Burton all the time.
What do they say?
Nope. No way. I mean, you know, they're just like, are you crazy? Like, it's the silliest idea ever, right? And I'm like, oh, man, you know, just go run a few laps, right? They're not interested. Not really at all. And so, which I find fascinating. There's no wrong answer. Right. But Jamie's really young, really in great shape. And you try to make us, I don't know how you do it, but I kind of sit here and go, I'm going to guess what he's going to say. And I wonder if I'm right. Like, as you know, Jamie being young and in great shape, I would assume that a good opportunity, he would do it.
And he said that, right?
Yeah.
So you were right. You guessed right on that?
I guess, yeah.
And, you know,
I guess I did guess right.
The thing is that, you know,
let's take a moment.
Eric Amarola.
Let's take a moment.
Okay, he was right, everybody. Enjoy it. In fact, you can just back up the podcast and listen to him be right again if you want to.
Yeah. Don't be right again in a few more days.
Oh, here it is. There he is.
Yes. The Blaney train. We're going to get into Phoenix here in a bit. But first, back to McMurray.
Eric Amarola is going to be retiring, but I think that you get the fact that, and I don't know if that's because Smithfield was leaving, what came first, Eric decided he wanted to scale back, or, you know, Smithfield leaving. But that being said, there's a point in all of your lives and even our lives where the grind that we're used to in our prime starts to become pretty dang exhausting. And the thing that I thought it was compelling in the way you guys were going back and forth was that you guys can look back at the time now that you're withdrawn from it and realize that there was a lot of there were moments that were fun, but for the most part, it didn't seem like it was that enjoyable.
Yeah.
I think it's probably to do with the pressure and all the things that you have to do to be able to get into the place where you're happy. Your happy place is in the race car.
Yeah.
There's so much that comes in addition to that, though, just to get to the race car that you guys don't particularly enjoy.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the fans want to hear us.
That's true.
Say that, you know, oh, it was miserable. But I think we are not great at articulating exactly what we're saying. And so when we got into racing, like when Jamie talks about getting into his late model and ARCO and go-karts with his dad, you're having the time of your life. I had the best time driving my little late model car at Myrtle Beach every weekend for 4 years. All of that was amazing. And when I got my Busch Series opportunities, it continued to be a nothing less than thrilling. I mean, it was amazing. First couple years of Xfinity, still great. But creeping into the picture were new responsibilities. You know, you're going to have to do X amount of appearances for this partner. We got a new partner coming in. You got to have to do X, Y, and Z. You know, you got this thing planned with your family or friends, and they, you know, you got to fly to Vegas. You got to go to Florida. You got to go to Canada, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Those things are fun, but they too start to litter the calendar year. And then you get into the Cup Series, and all of that multiplies by 3, 4, 5 times. And then you're dealing with multiple sponsors instead of having – I was kind of lucky with Budweiser. I had one primary for the majority of the year. And then you get multiple sponsors, and now the drivers today, well, they got 6 or 7 partners that want dozens of appearances apiece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at the calendar year, your time just goes away. And when you're not doing those things, you're working, focusing, simming, meeting, thinking about your race, preparing for the next race. And so when you do all of those things and you go out and have a disappointing result, I mean, hell, even the greats had disappointing results half the time or more, right? Even some of the greatest had many, many bad days during the year. You know, it was tough. It was frustrating. More than frustrating. It wasn't miserable. It wasn't, oh, I don't love this. I don't want to do this. You loved it. You did want to do it. But it was so disappointing.
Hmm.
So hard to get your ass kicked after all of that effort and then have to do that again the next week and go back not knowing whether your ass is going to get kicked or not. And you'd have the good runs, and just like, you know, just like that guy, or just like me, when I'd go play golf, I suck. But boy, I hit the pin one time on a par four on my second shot, and damn, I'm roped in again. I'm gonna do this some more, you know.
That's right.
Now I'm having fun.
Yeah. Now you're going ahead and buying a sim or getting a golf
club membership. I'm gonna go get a damn better right. set of clubs. I'll do this more often.
Just so you can go get your ass kicked some more and get humbled again.
Yeah, and then I spent the next several rounds miserable.
Yeah. Here's something that I find interesting, and I want to ask you. There is financially there is a big level up when you go from, let's say, Xfinity Series to Cup. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the times, a lot of people ready to get to Cup just because maybe they can go invest in a motorhome. Maybe, you know, they could see these Cup drivers flying around on their own jets. So my question is, would you have taken less money to get some of your schedule back? Or is the money just too good that you – I mean, because – yeah, the money's way better, but there's a cost for that, and that's because you're putting in a lot more time.
That's a great question.
You're getting paid by the hour. Think of it that way. You got a lot more hours to devote when you get to Cup, but you also get paid a lot more.
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like that I probably would say yes in the back 5 years of my career to taking a big pay cut to get more days on my calendar that were free days, days that I choose what I want to do. Now, look, I was spoiled rotten. You know, when you look at the week, I felt like I was busy the whole week, but I had plenty of off days. I'd have one or two sprinkled in there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, you know, I mean, it was optics. And every driver that myself, Jamie, and all the drivers that are competing now are blessed, fortunate. They got a great job. It's exciting. It's thrilling. But even then, man, you can easily make it miserable. You know, you can easily screw up and make it miserable. You try not to. I mean, some people are just wired where they'll get thrown into that mix and come out smiling every day, just having a blast. Mm-hmm. But some people can go in there, even if all the blessings, and make it miserable, you know, get competitive, not, you know, want to win every lap. And I don't know where we're going with this.
Well, no, I think you answered the question. It sort of
where you have led me down the road now.
Well, my theory is that money doesn't make you happy. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of probably miserable millionaires out there. And the fact is that
we're finding our way back.
Yeah. Well, you know, Carl Edwards said, I can get rid of this lifestyle.
Oh, he did.
I can walk out of this easy.
Damn
and
right.
That's when we were all like, wow, how can you give up that paycheck, man?
Yeah.
And it's like, I think his answer would be, wasn't that hard at all, actually.
And you see that in Truex as well. He's not continuing to drive because of the pay. He's only continuing to drive because he's found some enjoyment in actually driving this next-gen car and running well with it. And he thinks, you know, we're good. We're running good enough. I think I'll stick around one more year. Hell, how long does he do that? Until he doesn't have that fun year. And he's like, yeah, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
He ain't going to miss a damn minute of it.
He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would have the itch. I think when it's done, it's done.
He will disappear.
Yeah, he'll disappear.
Into the woods with his boat.
That's right.
But I had a good time talking to Jamie. There was a couple other things that I thought was interesting. Jamie, we didn't get into it. He talked about it. I asked him if he raced go-karts on ovals. He said he did on dirt, and he goes, you know, I didn't like it because it was dirty, and he's a germaphobe.
Big time.
Big time.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, I'm not going to ask him if he wants to go run a late model stock car store race.
There's no dirtier place out there, right?
Well, it's you know, you're going to get some dirt under your nails there. But
you know one thing we didn't talk about?
What did we not talk
about? That year he had where he won the Daytona 500, the Brickyard.
He kind of did.
Yeah, but like just the significance of that year.
Bono pick.
That's true. He did.
Strategy.
But
he touched on it.
That was such a an amazing feat.
Won some big races.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did. Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, well, we're going to move on and preview Phoenix. We got the Xfinity Series, Sam Mayer, Justin Allgaier, Cole Custer, and John Hunter Nemechek. Obviously, I'm pulling for Junior Motorsports to win the championship. I could, Sam or Justin. Justin's 37 years old. This is his fourth appearance. This is his seventh championship four appearance. His seventh. Wow. All right. Never won a championship. His best finish was second in 2020. Four wins this year. This is Sam's first championship four appearance. 20 years old. Four wins this year. Total. So Sam's younger. Sam will, likely have another opportunity next year, as Justin will. But I hope one of them win it. And with that said, I hope Justin wins one at some point in his career. He deserves it. He's put a lot of work and effort into it, and I think he deserves it. The other two drivers, Cole Custer and John Hunter Nemechek, statistically, I know that Austin Hill won the regular season championship, man, but when you look at, the statistics throughout the year, Cole Custer and John Hunter Nemechek's names are right there at the top of a lot of lists. I expected Cole Custer to have a great year, but he won two races, and both were at road courses. I was shocked that he didn't win more mile and a halfs. But he's had fast cars, so I'm not counting the guy out. I feel like that even he might say that they fell short of some expectations this year. John Hunter Nemechek is moving on to the Cup Series next year, driving the 42 car for Legacy Motor Club. He's got seven wins this year. I expected him to come into this season and dominate. and when we unload cars in Phoenix and start practicing, I will be looking closely at the lap times of that 20 car to see how we match up. So I think the 20 car may have an edge on overall just pure speed. Cole Custer, if we get those late restarts, late yellows, Cole Custer is a restarting machine, but also is Justin Allgaier. Those two guys would be really sitting at an advantage if they're able to restart late in the race on the front row or even in the second row. Cole and Justin are really great at attacking on restarts. Sam can go in there and win it. I told him that. I said, don't feel like you're the underdog, even though, looking at statistics and age and experience, I tell him to focus on the success he's had in the playoffs and feel like that he goes in there as one of the favorites to win it. I would not be shocked if Sam wins it. You got any input?
No. I think you framed it up nicely. I'm pulling for Justin Allgaier. I don't mind saying it. You can't say it, but I'll say it. Yeah. I think it's he's due, and I want it for him in a bad way. Although Sam Mayer, I agree with you. Did you just make that again? Did you really?
Yep.
This podcast on Thursday has turned into just throwing paper wads into a basket and seeing if we can make it. Now I'm kind of wanting
to
go.
He couldn't even see it either.
Oh, I couldn't whatever. Even All right, Andrew, you know what?
Smart ass,
this guy.
One of the things that I think is an interesting narrative around the Xfinity series is how will teammates race in this final event, right? That is coming off – I say that because we're coming off of Martinsville, where a lot of things happened, good and bad, around teammates, right, the choices they made. With all of that conversation in the industry, you have to imagine that there may have been a bit more focus in the competition meetings amongst all the teams about what is expected. Like, what is your role, okay? Look, you're a teammate. This is what we'd like you to do. This is what we would expect of you in moments like this. Maybe it's a non-factor. Maybe it absolutely does not come into play. But be paying a little more attention to that, I think, in the Xfinity series especially, to how teammates, you know, compete, right? And whether they're able to assist each other, and maybe whether they're able to make it more difficult or challenge some of their, you know, some of the enemies and out there in the competition out there. Moving on to the Cup Series, Kyle Larson's going for his second championship, and Christopher Bell's back again for his second championship four appearance, and he finished third last year. And then William Byron in his first championship four appearance, at 25 years old, man. The oldest driver in this group is Kyle Larson at 31 years old. And then, obviously, the favorite, the odds-on favorite, the man who's, you know, just dominated the last couple of rounds of the playoffs, Ryan Blaney, is coming in to bring it home. Sorry.
He can't even say it with a straight face.
This is his first championship four appearance. He's finished seventh in points in 2019 and 2021. He's 29 years old. Really, you know, for a driver, that's, you're kind of coming into your prime. William Byron's a fantastic race car driver. He will only get better as he ages. You know, Christopher Bell, Kyle Larson, that 28 to 31 year old range, you're really starting to reach the peak, or you're nearing the peak of where youth and the risk taking and urge to be daring crosses with experience, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of drivers that come in young that have raw ability and are very fast. They lack a little race craft, which is basically experience. And man, that 28 to 31 year old range, right around 33 even, is this sort of perfect meld of the two. And so these drivers, it's interesting, man. When I first came into the broadcast booth, we were pitching this narrative of the young guard, Chase Elliott, Blaney, against the old guard of Harvick, even Keselowski and other guys. And so the veterans went out and won all the races and said, yeah, your narrative's dumb. But now here we are, years later, where, again, we've got some – we've got a 25, a 29, 28, and a 31-year-old driver all going for the championship. So I like Blaney. Ran second at Phoenix, I think, the last two times. Probably could have won last year, but Logano was racing for the championship. We do not know for sure, but I have to wonder, could Blaney have won that race if it had been his title to win, right? He's going in with a lot of momentum. Byron has had an incredible year. Kyle Larson, you can never count out. I counted him out, though. Didn't put him in my final four, but here he is. Hey, I'll take the criticism. Yeah, bad choice.
You don't mind taking that because you got the Blaney pick.
Hey, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I got a few right.
Yeah.
You know, your championship pick ain't even here. In here. He ain't even in the room.
He has a good podcast. Yeah.
And Christopher Bell's back, man. Are we all overlooking Christopher Bell?
Yeah, I overlook Christopher Bell all the time.
Yeah,
all the time. I forget he's out there.
Is he gonna be a threat?
I think so.
All right. It was, all right.
I don't know.
That's my analysis.
I think he's in the second half of the four drivers. Like, I feel like
he's actually the underdog of all four.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah. But Bell, I feel like, at least for me, exceeded my expectations of him in the playoffs again this year.
He did it last year.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Had basically a similar season, but then came on in the playoffs, won the right races. Oh, but and he finished third last year.
Yeah.
Out of the four. I mean, you know.
What's interesting this year is he's the only Gibbs car in it, and I feel like every time
that helps.
If somebody else he's kind of share the spotlight with or whatever over there, so that might give him some.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. So Gibbs can focus solely on Christopher Bell, and Gibbs and Christopher's teammates can then practice and work to help him. There's an hour, I think, of practice. So, yeah, you want some teammates out there trying things and giving you information and you plugging that into your car and making your car better. I think that that works better. I think that that is more reliable today than it's ever been with the next-gen car. With the old cars, everybody had a little bit of different this, a little bit of different that. Yeah, our front ends aren't quite the same. My A-arms are a little different. My mounting points, my jacking, this, and that, and the other. And so trying something that worked for your teammate wasn't always just 100% reliable. You put it in your car and not go faster and go, well, what the hell? But in the next-gen car, it's like, you know, if they try it and it's faster, it's almost every time 100% plugs into your car and you get the same result. So having teammates out there helping you. Blaney will have teammates. Byron and Larson, they'll have a couple cars. So, I mean, that'll be critical in those laps of practice, what those other teammates that aren't even racing for the championship, how they might influence the overall performance of these four drivers.
I got a question. Who do you think of these four? I mean, actually, let's take both series, Xfinity Series and Cup Series. Who do you think of them as the one driver that would choose to win at all costs, including maybe even racing dirty to win a championship?
Sam's definitely on that list. At 20 years old, you're gonna mature with age. You're gonna make different decisions as you get older. So he's prone, would be the best word to use. He's prone to make whatever move he needs to make, right, to win this championship. I wouldn't put it past Justin. Justin's very clean, though.
Very clean.
Yeah, Justin
takes pride in
Justin's
that.
Justin's very clean, so maybe he doesn't. When given the opportunity, you know, the championship right in front of him, maybe he still needs to do it his way.
I think you're right.
Right?
John Hunter will move you.
John Hunter will definitely move you.
All right, on the Cup side. Yeah. Cole Custer will move you. Cole Custer drove through half the field just in Martinsville just to get where he's at. So I think he definitely will move you.
At least Cole tells you it's coming.
Well,
I was like,
there's
hey,
that.
Man, hey, I'm going to have to hit you here, okay? All right, don't be up too upset, okay? This is a situation we're both in.
I hate the player, hate the game.
I like that. He's not asking for forgiveness later. He's like, hey, man, I told you we were going to do this. Moving on to the Cup Series. Honestly, the funny thing about the Cup Series is it's much harder to make the distinction of what driver might do something truly dirty to win a championship. I don't know that any of them are willing to do that. I think they'll race hard. They'll make contact. They won't avoid contact, but they're not just going to clean a guy out, or they're not going to knock you totally out of the groove. They'll drive in the corner, door you, use you up a little bit. They'll do something, and they'll get physical, but it won't be enough that you can just get out of the car and go, that was bullshit. How can you live with yourself?
Mm.
Right? Yeah. I don't see the Cup guys doing that.
Yeah.
Now, the Xfinity guys, maybe. I think it's time to do some Ask Junior. We've been putting this off all week.
We have, yeah. We're going live, and we are live.
We're live. All right. Hey, everybody. It's Dale Jr. Here in the Bojangle studio with my co-host, Mike Davis. And I am going to stick around for this Ask Junior because my wife just said that she's going to get Isla from school. So yes, we've had a great week. We got a lot going on. Talking about Martinsville, talking about Phoenix. We've had some conversations about it, but I'm sure there may be a question or two in this little Ask Junior. So let's get started, Andrew.
Yeah, let's start kind of Martinsville related. This one comes from Nicholas. You know, in the case of William Byron looking just absolutely exhausted after that Martinsville race, what does recovery look like for a driver after like a grueling like race like he had?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of options on the table in terms of getting over that. The first thing that's probably the most important is to get fluids back in your body, and so, you know, you can go to the get IVs if you wanted to, but it's actually, you know, go get you something to eat, put some food in your belly, and drink a lot of water, and go, you know, try to get you some rest. With a race like that, it's probably Tuesday morning before you start really getting back to normal.
Yeah.
You'll be tired and groggy a little bit on Mondays, but because that was really hard. That was really tough. Most races you bounce back really fast, but the heat and just the temperature and soaking in that temp for so many hours really takes a while to get over that.
I can imagine that would take a lot out of you.
You run.
Yeah,
Ironmans and all that good stuff.
Yeah,
and
I mean, that takes a while to recover.
Yeah, you push yourself to the brink, right? And so, what is that like for you? Like when you're getting done with that, it gives you. What do you feel like the next day?
At least after my most recent Ironman, it took probably until like Thursday, Friday of the next week to actually feel 100%. Back to myself.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I don't know.
That's probably longer than most, right, Mike? What do you say?
I take a long time.
Judging by your,
it feels like you weren't in great shape, actually.
Yeah, judging by our experiences in the Ironmans,
right,
I would say
right.
That's pretty.
I'm usually back on Monday or Tuesday.
Me too.
Yeah. Sorry, I'll work on getting back quicker for you guys.
Do better, Andrew. Do better.
This next question, Happy Halloween, comes from Ronald. Is there a most memorable costume that you dressed up as when you were a kid growing up?
Memorable. Yeah, I got a football uniform when I was 6, and I think I used that 3 years in a row.
Nice.
I so badly wanted to grow up and play football in the NFL. And so being a football, I mean, it was like nobody was changing my mind. I'm a football player this year. Next year, hey, I'm a football player. You're not, I'm good. Don't need any help. I've got it. I had the pads and the whole we get up. The funny thing, though, was, man, this is like 1982. And so I had like all red uniform, white and blue stripe at the shoulder, no number. I mean, it's generic. We went and got the very bargain basement.
Baller on a budget.
Yeah, football uniform get up. But my pants – had the pads. I had the hard pads, the thigh pads, the knee pads, helmet with the plastic two bar. That one that would bite into your forehead.
Oh, yeah.
So always, just a little too small. Just biting right into
it. And leave a mark. Yeah. It'd like leave that thing right there.
Like Peyton Manning when he got to
that. Right. Just like
trick or treat. I'm Peyton Manning. It's 1982.
Is it cool seeing people dressing up as you every year for Halloween?
I ain't seen that. I mean, every once in a while, they used to have these costumes that they sold when we were racing full time. They had costumes, you know, that kids could buy. And so every once in a while, there would be a parent, they'd send you a picture of their kid, you know, on social media or something. That was pretty cool. Seeing somebody's kid trick or treating as Dale Earnhardt is probably going to be my favorite thing that I'll see on social media during this period of time outside of my own family. Somebody's kids dressing up like my dad, having never seen him race a lap and that's probably cool. Not knowing a ton about his career. That's pretty interesting.
You talk about the 3 years in a row. I remember I had a 3-year stretch of being Jimmy Johnson. Yeah. And my buddy was Jeff Gordon.
Wow.
So, yeah.
What age were you when this was happening?
Probably, a few years ago. Like this year, tonight.
Tonight.
This will be 4 years in a row.
Probably like elementary school.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Elementary school.
Yeah.
All right.
It was a fun time.
Yeah. What's a Jimmy Johnson costume consist of?
We got like, you know, the, like they sell like the jackets, yep. like the leather. Yep. So I got the Jimmy leather jacket, and then my friend got
what
the
pants?
Jeff Gordon.
Just anything? Any blue?
I think it was anything.
Right?
Yeah.
Whatever matched.
Yeah, being in Chicago, it was always cold, so, you know.
Get a helmet, or you just have none of that?
Didn't have a helmet. I got a hat.
So you were just literally a Jimmy Johnson fan.
Yeah, I was just a fan.
Yeah, you were dressed up as a Jimmy Johnson fan.
Not Jimmy Johnson. The leather jacket. Yeah. That seems so Jimmy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I didn't win any costume contests, so.
But you and your friend probably got beat up a lot, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Nah, we weren't wearing, like, Kyle Busch or Joey Logano costumes. Yeah, I feel like you'd be more prone to that. But this next question is coming from Ian. What's a good, I guess Ian is going on a first date. What's a good first date idea?
That's a good question. Well, let's weed out the bad ones first, all right? Any family function.
That'd be not good.
Don't take any first date to a family reunion or anything that involves family, right?
Yeah.
Wait, did you do that?
I don't remember.
Oh, my.
It depends. How I wonder how old Ian is. I mean, like, and I know that you're probably not going to know that, but, like, that matters, doesn't it? If he's
Let's just assume that he is 25.
All right.
You just got to pick a number, damn it. We got to finish this.
Well, all right. 25. If you're asking for first date advice at 25, you got bigger problems.
Wait,
but go ahead.
He's going on his first date with this person, not his first date ever.
I understand that. And yet, I still stand behind if you're still looking for first date advice at 25, you got issues.
Not everybody is so lucky to marry at such a young age.
No, whatever.
Mike.
We weren't all.
I'm not wrong.
I'm not wrong on this one. You're one
of the lucky ones.
Your Blaney prediction doesn't get you to the dating advice. You're not right about that.
Yeah.
You're one of the lucky ones there, buddy.
Let's say he's 15 or 16. What's the advice?
You don't think that's creepy giving him advice for a 15, 16-year-old on dating advice?
First date?
I'd rather he be 25.
All right, he'd be 25.
Goodness.
Go ahead. This sounds like something that you never even thought about going on a date until you were like almost 30 probably, right?
I went on some dates before I was 30.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Plenty.
Go ahead. What's your advice to 25-year-old Ian? I can't wait for this. I'm hanging on it.
So, Ian, just don't do it at a family function.
Family functions are bad, yeah. Oh, man. I think you got to scratch off the Applebee's and all of those,
like
right?
Like the chain restaurant. Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's take them off.
Movie theaters.
Movie theaters a bad one. Yeah, because dang, man, you can't talk. You can't get to know.
Sounds amazing.
Mike?
Find me a date where you don't have to talk. That's it.
Mike married her right away. Took her to the movies. She never said a word. I married her.
I went to the movies looking for her.
I think a good first date, man, is like picnic, right?
What are we do?
Go to the park.
A picnic.
Go for a walk. Go to the park. Take some food.
Play bingo. Go to Shoney's on Wednesday nights.
Nope. We took the chain restaurants off, Mike. So, okay, in Mike's case.
Go knit a crochet.
In Mike's case.
Go visit Nana.
We'll take off.
They are Nana. All right, go ahead.
No Shoney's or no Denny's in Mike's case.
Okay, yeah. So a picnic and, you know.
I mean, I'm serious, dude. You can sit down in a park. It's an easy, neutral spot. Conversation needs to happen. You can ask each other what they like, what they don't like. Going for a walk is a great place to do those type of things. The first date doesn't have to be this, like, the actual location is not that important, right? It's really what happens. Like, you got to get to know this person. Don't take them to a party. Don't take them to the bar for drinks.
Yeah, I think the bar for drinks would be
Alex. You're in trouble.
Good.
Yeah, that you just took out, you know, basically Alex's entire social life.
Yeah, that's it.
I would take, if I was looking for a girl that liked to go to the bar for drinks, then I'd take her to the bar for drinks.
Yeah. Okay.
Alex Timms would be the best person
but
to ask
I ain't
this to.
Looking for that girl. We're looking for.
That's true.
My
that's
go-to is just an activity like mini golf or anything like that, yep. where you can kind of get them out of their like. Stiff, you know, first dates are stiff. So I actually don't like dinner on the first date because you're sitting down, it's stiff. They're usually self-conscious about what they eat in front of you.
Yeah.
So usually an activity.
That's a good call.
That's a good point.
So afternoon?
Afternoon's great. Yeah.
Afternoons?
Something kind of like off the beaten path from like every other person that does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. I like it.
I like that too. We'll go with that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you got any advice, Mike?
No, I like what Alex said.
You like the mini golf.
Yeah, that's a great idea, actually. Yeah.
All right. What if, are you supposed to let them win?
No, you got to dominate.
Oh, no.
You,
yeah.
dominate. You cannot lose.
You can't lose. Nope. That's even more pressure on yourself going.
Now you're nervous.
Yeah.
Now you're feeling some pressure.
Yeah. They like that competitive side, though. If they don't, then they're not the one.
Took her to mini golf and figured out that she
Alex,
wasn't the one.
This is just not going to work out.
It was all going.
You mean
so
you
good.
Can't hit that windmill? What the hell's wrong with you? God, yeah, windmill. Bowling. I mean, it's just.
I had her by six strokes, and she didn't. Right. Give a she wasn't competitive enough.
Take her bowling. Bumpers.
She picked a red home. Ball. I like. What are you thinking, lady?
Hey, I don't mind bowling.
Bowling's good.
Yeah, dude. Bowling's a good spot.
Bowling's good.
Yeah, because that's you can
dominate a girl at bowling.
The other thing, with bowling is you can take your time.
Does it help your cause if you ask for the bumpers?
Yeah, no, I think we're going gutters.
Gutters or nothing.
Bowling's a time consuming, take your time, conversational kind of thing. Well, Tiff's here.
Tiff's dying.
We haven't even asked Tiff. Dying. Like Tiff, first date.
Come get on a mic.
She's coming over.
Oh, yeah, she's going into Alex.
She's probably going to give the best answer, and we're all going to be okay.
No, activity's good. I'm with you guys on that one. Although all this talk about dominating your date on the activity is ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you remember where Doug Powers took you?
Actually, I think we went to a Panthers game because I was a Panthers fan, and they were playing the Colts, and the Panthers won.
I've seen sporting – event on the do not list, but that was good.
Yeah, it was good because you can talk or not.
All right.
Like if it would have been awkward, we would have just watched the game. But you can talk on the way to the game. You can talk during the game, like football. You know, there's plenty of breaks.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Okay, so sporting events.
If you were competing against Doug in an activity,
girl,
would you
right?
want to?
Like sporting events is good for me, but we also knew each other before that, so like. He knew that wasn't going to be something I didn't.
He knew you were a Panthers fan?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yep.
Gotcha. But, like, if y'all were competing, do y'all get competitive with each other?
Absolutely.
And so if he would have taken you to mini golf and you would have beat him,
would you have been fine. I would have not assumed anything was wrong with that.
No, I know. I'm more concerned about what he thinks about this.
He would have been sad.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Agreed.
Can't see her anymore.
Find your own way home.
Oh man.
All right. What a good question.
Who's
the Ian? We sat there and picked his life apart, don't even know him.
Yeah,
and then it ends up being a really good question. Sorry.
All right. There's a few options. Anyways, what do we got time for one more, Tim?
Oh, yeah.
One more. let's see. Here, let's find a good one. This is from Jordan. You know, you're on the road a lot. Obviously working for NBC, being a driver, part-time driver. Best travel tip for just being out and about so much.
Best travel tip.
Yeah.
Like what I can't live without, right? Is that helpful or no? Best travel tip.
Like a travel hack?
Yeah.
Do you have any of those?
No, I ain't got no travel hacks. Mm. Everything's already done. I mean, I don't got a hack.
It's just go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, help me out, Mike.
I'm trying to think myself. I mean, travel tips. I mean, like listen, I don't know that anybody in racing is the best person to ask that question to, and that's not a bad question.
I got a question. All right.
Go.
Are you all right?
Yeah.
So traveling, we use different apps, right? Mm-hmm. I could be completely wrong, but I think that there are better apps than others in terms of GPS.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, I've met some people that I'm a Waze guy. And I met some people that aren't.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, I don't like that one. You don't like that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That
was a whole thing in Pennsylvania. Now that I remember, you were all, you know,
me and you were
picking us apart because I didn't like Waze, and you did.
In Pennsylvania?
Yeah, when we were going to the Kyle Larson event. Remember, we were driving an hour from the airport.
Yes. So, that to me, I think I'm particular about Waze. Waze for me is, you know, when I compare the apps, say I'm going to drive somewhere, right? And I look at all the alternate routes. Waze gives me the quicker route than I see even the built-in apps on my phone give me. It is also, I take this one particular drive quite often. It's about a 3.5 hour drive, and there's always the potential for this 45-minute delay on this trip.
Mm.
And all these other apps won't steer me around it, but Waze always does. Waze is like, hey, man, you're going to get off this really shady exit, and you're going to go down this back road, and you're going to be, you know, it's going to be one lane between two rocks, and it's going to be kind of weird, but it's going to be much faster. And you're like, all right. The other ones won't even approach, you know, sending you there. We were driving to Bristol for the Xfinity race this year, and I ended up on a road where we literally were – there was something delaying the two-lane road, the highway, and everybody was taking this back road. And it was literally room for one car to go through this sort of 50-foot span where it was just rock walls down both sides, and it's like touching the mirrors of the truck. And all, we drove through, then like three cars would drive through the other direction. This was like this process. And had I not been using Waze, I would have been sitting in line on the highway, right? And so Waze.
That's a good travel tip right there.
Yeah.
I use Apple Maps. It's hit or miss. But
see, I think Waze is better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like, mean,
if you would have been on a first date years ago and she used Waze, it would have been a deal.
I was going down a 5-lane road, and over this bridge, there was an accident. I knew the accident was there. I'm about a mile away. I can see the traffic. Waze is like, get your ass in the right lane. It's all funneling down to this lane is the open lane. Your Apple's going to be like, hey, traffic crash.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Waze is like, you know what? There is an accident and it is blocking the four lanes and you need to be in the right lane. And, you know, that's helpful.
Here's a question. Do you guys have the Audible Siri instructions or whatever it is on, or you mute?
I have it on.
Oh, mute.
See, that's the thing. I would actually consider going to a different one. That lady talks too much.
Yeah.
What?
It like interrupts your music.
Right? It's like turn right on Shepherd Boulevard. And it's like then you gotta wait and all right, now that you're on Shepherd Boulevard, turn right. And it's just like, what are you? Are we married or something?
Hey,
and you didn't tell me? I mean, like, God, shut up.
Sometimes the only update is to continue on the road.
I have
continue going straight.
I have that turned off as well.
Yeah,
I don't have anybody telling me. I've got it on the screen.
Yeah,
I can see it.
That's all I need to.
I can see it. I thought you meant Siri in general.
Oh, no.
No, just the map instructions.
You had Siri on or off in general?
Off.
Oh, she didn't listen to me, though. She was wrong.
Wait, what do you mean Siri on or off?
Do you got Hey Siri turned on?
Oh, I'm pretty sure I do.
The fact that you don't know.
Hey Siri.
Nope.
No.
Oh, no.
I guess I thought I did.
I do. Because, I mean, I use it all the time for calling people, like my wife or my sister or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't use it any other reason. But every time I get in my truck, my mind goes, it's time to call somebody. I need it's time. I need to talk. I never sat down to go over things, right? Like Tony Mayoff manages all the requests that come in for my schedule and all that stuff. And he's sending me email after email. Hey, man, I need you to tell me, are you okay doing this appearance? Are you okay going here and doing this? And I never answer them. And I'll get in the car, go, hey, Siri, call Tony. And I'll say, hey, Tony, go through those emails. Let's talk about it.
I thought you'd say, hey, Siri, say no.
Siri's, calling, Siri's calling him right there. Siri, she was just calling him.
Probably just called him.
Butt dial.
Oh, shit. butt dial. Yeah.
Anyways.
We got off the road hack, but the first thing I was thinking of was like, what can I not do without? And it's probably you know, obviously, my Spotify playlists. Yeah.
Yeah. Good music on the road.
Yeah. And man, I'll be driving down the road in my Suburban with my kids in the back and Amy will be like, she'll just reach over and turn it down, and I'm like, don't you hate that?
Yeah, I get the same way. It's like, even when the music's at a comfortable talking volume, someone turns it down, I take it personally.
She don't say nothing. She just reaches over and goes, yeah. And I'm like, I mean, I'm the same way. I'm biting my lip. I'm grinding my gears for like 50 miles. I'm like, I can't believe that.
I'm with you on that, and I'll take it a step further. If you touch the temperature dial without asking,
yeah,
like that's a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah,
God, don't.
I have to have it on auto and sync, right? So both sides are
on the same temp.
And both sides, and Amy will be like, bust it all up, and I'm like, dude, it's gonna be fine. Like I've got it on, you know. Synced up on auto, it's gonna cool us to 68. We're gonna be great, whatever, right? 72. And but she's like, crank it up, I'm cold, crank it down, I'm hot. And it's like, it's blowing all the time. And I'm like, you know, if you just put it on auto, it'll give you the perfect amount.
That's right.
when you know what I do before we get in the car for the long drive to avoid the volume. I get into the radio before the kids and Amy get in the car, and I push all of the noise up into my speaker in my corner of the dash. So I turn all the rear speakers off and Amy's. And so she'll have it turned. I'll turn it up, and it'll be sounding perfect for her, but it's really good and loud for me. And she has yet to say,
to notice,
man, is my speaker broke? Or, you know.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like a travel hack.
That's his hack.
That is his advice on his traveling tip. Here's what you do. You turn all the speakers off.
We walked all the way around that mountain to get to the hack.
That's a good one, though.
Oh, yeah, if you're annoyed by your wife turning the sound down, before she gets in the car, adjust it all to your speaker.
Man, travel hacks, dating advice. That was good, SJ.
Yeah, all right. All right, it's time for the White Flag. The Cars Tour season finale is this weekend. It is at Caraway Speedway. Carson Quapple, Butterbean Queen, they're going for the championship in the Cars Late Model Stock Tour. Also, make sure you tune in. The pros will be racing as well to close out their year. You don't want to miss it. Saturday, November 4, starting at 1:30 p.m., only on Flow Racing. Also, I'm going to be racing in the South Carolina 400 at Florence Motor Speedway on November the 18th in a second JR Motorsports entry sponsored by Bass Pro Shops. Me and Carson will have dueling Bass Pro Shop cars. It's going to be a lot of fun. Dirty Mo Media, make sure you tune in to all of our shows this week, Door Bumper Clear, Actions Detrimental, and Speed Street. We had a great conversation with Jamie McMurray yesterday. And if you missed yesterday's Dirty Mo Live, you can catch the full replay on our YouTube. Andrew, Travis, and Dalton, they had some very special guests join them. So you'll want to check that out. And finally, Dirty Mo Dough will be out later today. They've got you covered when it comes to the best bets for the season finale in Phoenix. So have a great week, and let's all go to Phoenix and have a great time closing this year out. We'll see you. Check out Dirty Mo Media. Twitter, Facebook, TikTok,
and Instagram.